I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
All right, so after first trying to ignore the situation with Tim Walz, incredible. I've lost track of the lies about his service. Dozens of lies about his military service. It'd take me the rest of the segment to go through those lies, to go through every lie he told about his service. That's how often he did it. He was even at one point, Lee, the go-to guy for MSNBC. He would go on and claim to have fought in a war zone, or others would claim that who appeared with him, and he wouldn't correct them.
So he's a repeat offender here.
He's a repeat offender. So at first, the Kamala Harris campaign ignored this, figured they'd let the media clean it up for them. That didn't work. So they had to come out and make a statement because their sheeple were beginning to hear about it, their voters. So they tried to confuse their sheeple by acting like, well, Tim Walz just did it one time. It was that one time he was talking about taking everybody else's guns, and he said, yeah, I carried a weapon of war into a war zone, and you don't need to have a weapon of war. I want to take your guns. And then he just misspoke, Lee. He just misspoke.
Right, yeah.
Anybody could, you know, and it happens to all of us. Like, some days I wake up with PTSD from my time serving in Iraq.
Yeah.
And then I go, oh, thank God. Wait, no, I didn't serve in Iraq. I mean, it's easy to get confused about whether you were in a war zone or not, right? Yeah. It's not the kind of thing people would remember. Or maybe it is. So they tried that. They tried lying about it. Well, it was just that one time. You know, he was confused. He misspoke. Well, every day, Lee, we get about another half dozen more times he, oops, misspoke. Or he clearly told somebody else, many of them Democrats, that he had served in a war zone, and they misspoke, and he's standing there and he doesn't correct them, including Chris Matthews on MSNBC. He's literally got a general sitting there as the other member of the panel, praising him for his service in a war zone, and Walz doesn't correct it. It's despicable.
Yeah.
It's disgusting, and it's despicable, and it's disrespectful to anyone who did serve in a war zone.
And they're also lying about the people who are criticizing this, because now they're claiming that, oh, people are criticizing my 24 years of service in the National Guard. No, they're not. No, they're not. No one is criticizing that. What they're criticizing, congressman or governor, is that you have lied about the rank that you retired at, and the fact that you did not, enter into a combat zone as you claim to have done.
So when the lying didn't work, as you're saying, Lee, yesterday Tim Walz finally had to come out and address this. This is what he said.
These guys are even attacking me for my record of service. And I just want to say, I'm proud to serve my country, and I always will be. And I firmly believe you should never denigrate another person's service record. To anyone brave enough to put on that uniform for our great country, including my opponent, I just have a few simple words. Thank you for your service and sacrifice.
Again, like you said, Lee, nobody's denigrating his service record.
No, not at all.
They're denigrating his lies.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And just as he says this, right, this new photo comes out of Tim Walz. And he's campaigning for John Kerry. And on the poster he's carrying, he claims to be a veteran of Operation Enduring Freedom. He's standing there with the sign, claiming to be a veteran of Operation Enduring Freedom. What is Operation Enduring Freedom? According to Wikipedia, the official name used by the U.S. government for the first stage of the war in Afghanistan. He did not go to Afghanistan. He did not go to Iraq. That's the point. His unit went without him, and when he got word he would have to go, he quit. That's not my opinion. That's his commander's opinion on CNN. He knew about it. He didn't want to go. He quit. He had to give up his rank that he had not earned because he quit, but he kept lying and saying he was still at that rank for many years. In fact, had them address him by that rank on MSNBC. Somebody told him that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they got so confused. He even puts, you know, when you get your congressional pin, if you become a congressman, there's actually a pin you get. And you can have various things put on the pin. He put that rank. He had that rank that he did not have. He got demoted, put on his congressional pin. You know what this guy needs? He doesn't need more power. He needs help.
Yeah.
He needs help. He's a compulsive liar. And the difference between Kamala Harris and Barack Obama, who are just liars, they tell logical lies, and a compulsive liar is that compulsive liars lie about their biography. They lie about who they are because inherently they have doubts about their own self-worth. It's a psychological problem. Whereas Kamala Harris, she's going to lie to you about where she stands politically and what she did on the issues. Most politicians do that. It means she's a bad person, but it doesn't mean she's sick. He's sick. He needs help. He has done this. This is a compulsive thing with him, Lee.
And as you pointed out, this sounds very eerily familiar to someone else.
Joe Biden. Yes, Joe Biden is exactly. Also a compulsive liar. He can't help it. He can't stop. He can't. And that's the sign. When you get fact checked on your lies and you still tell those lies again after the Washington Post has given you four Pinocchios, you can't stop. You need help. You don't need access to more power. Tim Walz is the same way. He needs help. So the good news about all of this, Lee, is it shows you the media doesn't have the ability to lie and contain damage for the left like they used to. And again, all of this goes back to X. X has devastated Walz because all of this stuff is on X. You can share it off X and they can't stop it. They can't make it go away.
Well, they're trying.
They're trying.
All they have to do now is connect the dots and make this, something that is inciting violence. And then they send the Brits over here to arrest you.
I know.
Gosh.
I know. So, so it's great that we have this, again, this way to actually have a debate in America about, you know, who's running and if they're lying and what they're doing. Meanwhile, Lee, all of this stuff's going on. It'll make you mad, but don't let it make you mad. These are all signs of the absolute desperation. And it all comes down to numbers. Again, Elon Musk gets more views on one tweet than the viewership of the entire mainstream media, period. Listen to these numbers. Okay, this is so interesting to me. I went and pulled them all because I hadn't looked at them lately. Okay, you look at 20 million people were waiting just to view that two-hour Twitter spaces between, or X spaces between Trump and Musk, right? Ultimately, a billion people viewed it. Okay, what kind of damage can the mainstream media do? How much power do they have left? Not much. The entire combined circulation and readership, digital and print, of every daily newspaper in this country right now, you know what it is?
I have no idea.
21 million.
Really?
That's it. Take the top 50. Top 50 newspapers. So this is digital, whether you read it online or you still get the, you know, the actual copy of it.
Right.
Including the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post. Total audience. You ready for this? This is shocking. 9 million.
Good grief.
It's top 50. They're losing their power. And that is such a good thing for America. Such a good thing for America. Okay, so let's jump on over to TV. How are they doing? CNN and MSNBC combined 1.6 million audience. Again, there's a guy I like to read on Twitter called DC Drano.
Mm-hmm.
He has a 2 million audience. It's 2 million followers. So bigger than CNN and MSNBC combined. Who's he? I don't know. Some guy. This is why they're panicking. Now, the real bastion of power left, to the extent that there is one with the mainstream media, is the combination of ABC, CBS, and NBC. Together, they all have 19 million viewers. Again, go look at Elon Musk's Twitter X feed alone. It's not unusual for him to get 35, 40, 50 million on a single post. And what is he doing? He's retweeting people who are telling the truth about Tim Walz and Kamala Harris. He's retweeting people telling the truth about the border and the invasion. They can't counter. But they're trying. That's why they're threatening arrest. They don't have another card. That's why they're getting their friends in Europe to threaten to arrest him and extradite him. They don't have another play. This is it. This is them with no gas in the tank.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.